I was just thinking about, you know, that I realized that, that in many ways there's different aspects of faith. We have certain principles of faith. We're learning to walk by faith, not by sight, as the scripture says in Romans 11. And that's really, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we've learned principles of faith. And some of those things that we've learned as far as principles of faith, they will suffice us in many situations. But I think there's something that's been in my heart lately. I heard something that really has made me very frustrated lately with certain ones that are sitting on people's grave sites, endeavoring to get some of what they had. And these are people that have been dead for 100 years or whatever, you know. And I know that many people have sat on John G. Lake's grave site. But do you know where John G. Lake got it? He didn't get it by sitting on Alexander Dewey's grave site. He got it by waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he waited and he paid a price. He gave away everything he had, everything he possessed to the poor, in obedience to the Lord as the Lord was dealing with him. And he spent much, much time with the Lord and in the Lord. And I believe there's such a thing as building an atmosphere of faith where we're not just, principles of faith are good. It's just like we have many theological positions on many things. Some of it's untested metal, and we're learning in areas to test it. But I believe there's something God wants us to bring us into. And that's where, you know, I talked to these, I read some stories of these men. I know a brother, I met him, who had done 29, 40-day fasts. I know a brother in California right now at a nominal church, not nominal in the sense, but a pastor of a traditional church situation. He did 3 40-day fasts last year. And he shared this with me that the Lord had told him they needed to do 3 40-day fasts in a year, and he did it. There's something that happens when people begin to separate themselves unto the Lord. And you can have the principles of faith, but you don't have an atmosphere of faith. You don't have your spirit man built up to such a point where you're walking above the waves. You're just in a place where you're high above the realms of the world's pull and your emotions and the pull of what people are saying and the influence of the demonic forces. You're just in a place above that. And we've tasted of it, all of us, in times that we've, you know, maybe done some a longer fast or separated times under the Lord. But I believe God wants to take us beyond the principles of faith and bring us to a place where we enter in to an atmosphere of faith, where we have pressed beyond the veil of this natural realm to where that eternal kingdom becomes more real to us than the one we're dwelling in, to where our spirit man is so built up on the inside that faith is much easier than unbelief, that we see through the veil of the natural with the eyes of the spirit. And our hearts are beginning to feel the pulse of God's own heart. The burdens of his heart are easy because we're in that place, that abiding place. And I believe that that's where Jesus walked. And, you know, I'm convinced he would go out and he'd spend all night in prayer. And then he'd go out and meet the masses the next day. This way, he'd do these kind of things again and again. Even though the people were on him all the time. As he said to Mary, one thing is needful. Or he said to Martha, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that better part. Only one thing is needful. And again and again, we see people that are, there's always as Tozer says, the tyranny of the urgent. There's always so many things. We've got to do this, got to do that, we've got to be, got to do this, got to be, do it. And many times, it's very hard for me in this atmosphere of America to assimilate a word like it says in 2 Timothy 2 that says, and no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's a hard word. But I believe in my heart that God's calling the people right now. If there's ever been a time, this is the time when we need to come out of this world, and not just, I'm not saying that we're not, we still have obviously things we need to do. But we need to have the prime product, and we need to, everything else needs to be on the back burner. And I believe that even Jesus, meeting people all day long, he had a natural body just like we have, but he had another principle involved. He said, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, it says in Isaiah 40. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, walk and not faint. When George Whitefield, one day he said to somebody, he says, I have so much to do this day. I think I'm going to have to spend an extra hour in prayer if I'm ever going to get it done. The divine enablement of God. We've all seen times when we've gone out and it seems like we're just bucking a 40-mile-an-hour wind. It just seems like everything we do is a stress and a strain. And we see other times where we just seem like we're walking a foot off the ground. And I know that place, and I believe God wants us to live there. And I believe the Holy Spirit's calling us, like in the fourth chapter of Revelation, come up hither, just rise up, come up higher. And I believe that God wants us, it's one thing to have the principles of faith, but I don't think that's going to carry us through in the incredible storm of darkness that's coming on this world. We need to be in an atmosphere of faith. We need to be in a place where the life of God, we're not talking about, it says, he that believeth in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. It didn't say a creek or a mud hole or a little trickle. He said rivers of living water. And we're all familiar with Ezekiel 47 when he says in here, and he measured 1,000 cubits, and the waters were to the ankles, and he measured 1,000, they were to the knees. He measured 1,000, they were to the loins. He measured 1,000 cubits, and the waters were waters to swim in, a great river that could not be passed over, and wherever the river goes, it lives. Everything that touches it lives. And that's, I believe with all of our heart, I've said it before, and I believe with all my heart, I'm ankle deep, but God's calling, and I desire to be a swimming in this river. And to be flowing where it goes, where that river goes, and everything it touches is life. But I believe with all my heart, brothers and sisters, we can have the principles of faith. I don't believe they're going to carry us through. I believe we need to be so full of the Holy Ghost, so filled with the Spirit of God, that everything we do, everything we touch, we're coming from a vital place where it's not just, you know, I'm going to stand, and I believe there's a place for that. But I believe, brothers and sisters, that when we get in the atmosphere of faith, we're entering into that place where we're swimming in deep waters with the Lord, and our hearts are so consumed that Christ becomes, you know the difference between, I'm going to do my time with God, and it's not that we don't do it with earnest and with a sincere heart. But have you been to the place where you just, like the brother, Tom Kruger was testifying how he just got to the place where he wanted to be with God. He just wanted to be, he couldn't hardly wait to get where he wanted to be with the Lord. I've tasted that place. I don't live there. I want to live there. But I've been in a place, and I think that pursuit of God is self-propitiating. The more you partake, the hungrier you get. The hungrier you get, the more you seek. The more you seek, the hungrier you get. And it just is, it's a self-propitiating thing. But there's a place where we break beyond the veil, where we begin to get, where we have a passion for the living God. I read it. You can read The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer if you don't understand that as a working principle. Read that book. I'm sure you can get it online, or you can get it anywhere. It's a very common book. But The Pursuit of God. He's talking about men that have come to the place where they had a passion for the living God. I started a book one time about a brother that went into Nepal and Tibet. And this book started with these three words. It says, I am a man with a passion for God. That right there, I said, I want to read this book, you know. But this man had a passion for the living God. God doesn't want us. He wants us to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What we do with gusto. What we do with all of our heart. What we do with fervency. And our hearts are there. We don't have to drag our carcasses to prayer. We got to read the word. I should read a chapter or read through a book today, or I should. It's our deepest desire. And I believe God wants to take a people right now, and I believe there's grace that's being measured out right now to a people to go where they've never been, where a people have never been, where they have that. Everything that Jesus walked in, he said, you can walk in the same and greater things than these that are you going to do. When Jesus went out and all night continued with the Father, it was no duty for him. It was life. It was necessary. It was the very vital interaction of his spirit with the living God. It was life to his soul, life to his flesh. It was everything. And I believe with all my heart, God wants to take us there. And we need to be. We understand the principles. I have a lot of the principles. And we can know the book, and that's good too. I believe we should. But there's that place where we get in, we don't get in up to our ankles. We don't get in up to our knees. And I can tell you what, God invites us. Whosoever will, let him come. He that hungers, let him come, and I will give unto him. Everyone that hungers and thirsts will be filled. He didn't say going to get a little bit. He's just going to get filled. You hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're going to get filled. You seek him with all your heart, you're going to find him. You earnestly contend, you're going to have the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I believe that we need to break through. There's our natural man. Ever since the Garden of Eden, one thing has been consistent. God, man has been hiding, and God has been seeking. It's in our nature to hide from the presence of the Lord. When he had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Eve had, they sewed themselves fig leaves to hide themselves from the presence of God. And people in that state are very religious. They can do all kinds of wonderful things. They can serve. They can do principles. They can give. They can tithe. They can all the things that people do. But I'll tell you what. There's something in the nature of man. It's in our fallen nature that wants to hide from the presence of God. It's in our nature to hide from the presence of God. In our natural man. I'm not speaking of our newborn creature in Christ. But sometimes that little fella is malnourished while the other man is getting chunky. And we need to be in a place where we have, like it says, let your soul delight itself in fatness. It says in Isaiah 55, I think it is. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Fatness. We need to be in a place where our souls are fat. We don't want our flesh to be fat. We want our souls to be fat. We want to be in a place, brothers and sisters, where we are prospering in the Spirit, where we are alive in God. And you want your anointing? You're not going to get it by reading the book of somebody else. They may be able to point you. A good message, a man can point you. But all they can do is point you back to the source of life. They can point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. They can point you to that abiding place in the Holy Spirit of God within you. They can point you to that abiding place, but all they can do is point you. You want life, it comes from him. You got to get it personally. There are no grandchildren in the kingdom. You got to get it personally. And I believe it was interesting what the Samaritan woman, when they asked the Samaritan woman, or she said to them, is this not the Christ that told me all things whatsoever I've done? And the people went out and said, and heard him, and then they came back and said, now do we believe not for thy testimony, but we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ of God. Nobody else's testimony is enough. You can't believe on anybody else's testimony. They can point you, but you're going to have to drink deeply at the fountain of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is still wanting to fill us. And remember, I know people, and I'm one of them, say, hey, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1970. That's very nice. In the book of Acts, they got baptized again and again and again. You can see it again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. These are guys that had just been filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were filled again with the Holy Ghost. We need to be in that place, brothers and sisters, where we're not just, it's not something that happened back in 1942, back in 1958. No. This Wednesday, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, that needs to be our testimony. That needs to be, again, the Lord baptized me. And again, because it's available. The question is, are we hungry? Are we thirsty? Are we separating ourselves from this world enough that the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the prime product of our desire, the passion of our heart? Because, brothers and sisters, you need to live the way the overcomers in this hour are not just going to have the principles of the Word. They're going to be walking so full of the Holy Ghost, they're going to have the atmosphere of faith. They're going to be in a place where unbelief is impossible to them. Because the Holy Ghost is so alive, so flowing, not a creek, not a mud hole. Rivers of living water.
Amen.